LeBron came back, we would make more Juggalo Ohio.
Hmm.
So once and he announced it,
we at King James saw that and he was like, "Oh snap!"
That was basically the first tweet was that if we promise to make more episodes if he returns, do you think that makes at King James's decision easier?
Mm.
Got retweeted a bunch. People were like tweeting at us and at LeBron about it. And then when he announced it, like we got a bunch of tweets and shit. It's like, oh, best thing about LeBron coming home is more Juggalo Ohio. And it's like, so we have to.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
We have to stand by it. No, but now we have to write it. What's up? This is Movies on Up. There can be no triumph without loss, no victory without suffering, no freedom without sacrifice. I am Dave, joined by the Kyrie to my LeBron, Ryan.
Maybe the Robin to your Batman?
Yeah, but
because that was the thing.
I'm tying it up themingly. We are Movies on Up. This is our tagline for this week. There can be no triumph without loss, no victory without suffering, no freedom without sacrifice. If you know what movie that is from, email us, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, Twitter @moviesonup. If you are right and we pick you, you will win a prize package fit for a king.
That's not from the Dan Gilbert letter?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Anyways, we had another episode planned for this week, but as it's probably obvious, this show is based in Northeast Ohio, and we had the return of our king last week, so we decided, let's scrap whatever we're going to do, and let's talk about our favorite movies involving a comeback.
Because I'm sure you guys probably, whether you like basketball or not, are not tired at all of the LeBron James stuff.
No.
So why don't we just...
And since Ryan and I used to have a sports talk radio show that got canceled...
Yeah, it was
and
we like have right around there in the corner.
Yeah, like the next door over, we did it Thursdays from 6 to 8, and we got canceled. So we have nowhere else to talk about the Cavs and LeBron, so we figured let's grasp at straws and do it on our movie show.
We used to talk about movies on the sports show, so we haven't quite figured this out yet.
Yeah, we don't focus very well. So anyways, this is our favorite movies featuring comebacks. We've done some pretty broad lists before. This one might be one of the most broad.
I think it is. I mean, like, what does that mean? And I don't want to answer that question because I answered it like five different ways.
And I was looking at some other things and like in my head, I came up with about 10 different ways to answer that question. And then when I looked at it, my list is kind of all in the same place, but it was just a fun one. It was harder to research than I thought because there was no... It's not a genre. So you had to come up with stuff off top of your head and then think like, okay, what's similar to that? So I'm pretty happy with my list. I came up with a handful.
I hope you came up with at least five.
I have at least five and then some also-rans that if there's any crossover, which I would be shocked if there is on this list, of all lists in the world, if there's a crossover on this one, I'll be
shocked.
Astounded, yeah. Moving on to our favorite movie comebacks or movies about comebacks or movies featuring a comeback. Who cares? LeBron James is coming home. Who cares what this list is about? Ryan, you're number five.
I may never watch movies again. I don't need to anymore. The Cavs are relevant. You mentioned it. The reason that we're doing this list is because of LeBron and the return of the King. So why the hell not just start off with Peter Jackson's Return of the King from 2003, starring Elijah Wood, Ian McKellen, and Viggo Mortensen playing the role of LeBron James. Yeah, this one kind of on the nose. Actually, exactly on the nose. But there are a couple reasons that I would like to mention it. First of all, it is my favorite of the Lord of the Rings movies. I hear a lot of shit about this one because...
Because it's wrong.
I'll get there. Because it won the Oscar, because it was just an achievement award for the other three. The Two Towers was better. Fellowship of the Ring was whatever. Maybe it is. But Peter Jackson filmed all three of these at once. If you'd have let him, this would have been just one giant-ass movie. If you'd have been able to sit through 10 hours of this movie, this could have been one movie, and it could have won the Oscar. But instead, he chopped it up into three. So the fact that it is... People look at it as an achievement award for the trilogy. All right, fine. What difference does it make? I don't have a problem with it at all. Maybe I like this one because of the action that's in it. If you watch it on Blu-ray, a lot of the battle scenes don't hold up quite as well. Actually, they look kind of rough. But at the time, they didn't look rough at all. It looked awesome. It was some of the best, actually the best at the time, like fantasy large-scale battles that I'd ever seen. And it was so awesome. And I think that's the reason, this movie in particular, is the reason that a movie like The Hobbit, the first one, can come out and make $300 million and everybody think that it sucks. Because it didn't live up to the last thing we saw from Peter Jackson in Middle Earth, The Return of the King. It was kind of boring. So I think this movie set the bar so high that you could have a movie like The Hobbit, which I enjoy a lot, come out and be a bit of a flop. You have a problem with this movie.
I don't have a problem. I like Two Towers a lot better. And I was disappointed with the lack of Legolas, like, awesome stuff. Legolas in this movie was the equivalent of LeBron James coming back and you saying, okay, you're not allowed to dunk. Because they didn't let Legolas dunk in the third movie. He had, like, two good, you know, like, driving layups.
That was pretty cool.
Okay, that was it.
I think it was
Whereas
really
Two
cool.
Towers, it was, like, just nonstop Legolas.
Well, that shit wasn't in the book anyway. He just added that stuff.
I didn't know they made a book of this.
Yeah, it was shortly after the movies they made the book. But, I mean, like, think about Return of the King. And if they did a remake of The Black Cauldron that came out like Return of the King, you'd love it, wouldn't you?
Oh, I absolutely would.
Damn
yeah.
straight.
I mean, there was no triumph without loss, no victory without suffering. They had no freedom without sacrifice. That kind of sums up this movie. And it was, I like the movie. I don't have a problem with it. I like all of the first three. It's top three for me, probably top two.
Top three in the franchise?
The Lord of the Rings, yeah.
Oh, good.
I liked Two Towers was the best. My number four didn't quite have the cultural impact that Lord of the Rings did, but it was still about a man returning. What do you do if you're a baseball player and your sole claim to fame is you got 3,000 hits, so you build up your post-baseball career as Mr. 3,000, only to find out years after retirement that, oh, some of those hits didn't count, so you never officially had 3,000 hits.
I think you have to come out of retirement and try and get some more hits.
Yes, and Bernie Mac answered that question in 2004's Mr. 3,000.
Did he do what I said?
Yes.
No.
He came, a 47-year-old Bernie Mac, went back to play baseball to get those last few hits, and he learned a lot about himself and teamwork along the way. I really do like Bernie Mac. I liked Bernie Mac as a leading guy, and I feel like we didn't get to see enough movies like Mr. 3000. He was hilarious, and he had enough like charm and heart to where you root for characters like him. And even though Mr. 3000 was kind of an asshole at times, like, it was Bernie Mac, so you liked him. You wanted to see him do well. Just a fun movie. I was toying between this and Mr. Baseball because Mr. Baseball was kind of, you know, Tom Selleck building up his career again to get back into the States. But of the two, I went Mr. 3000 because I didn't want two baseball movies on my list. I just
God
really,
forbid.
Yeah, I just really liked Mr. 3000 because I like Bernie Mac.
That's what it came down to. You just like Bernie Mac more than you like Tom Selleck.
I don't know about that, but I feel like I've talked about Tom Selleck more than I've talked about Bernie Mac on this podcast,
it's
at
possible.
Least.
Possible. Yeah. Well, yeah, and we don't play any Bernie Mac themed games.
I did have a Bernie Mac theme on one of my other podcasts that I don't know if it still exists or not. But so my number five, Mr. 3000.
My number four is, I guess when you think about comebacks, this is probably the movie or the franchise that you think about the most. It's Rocky II from 1979, starring, written, and directed by a man who can barely speak English in Sylvester Stallone, also starring Talia Shire and Burt Young. Rocky is pretty much the poster boy for comebacks. And I think when a lot of people think of Rocky, they don't think of the original that won the Oscar in 76. Your mind, or mind of most people, goes to the Adrian at the end of the second movie. I'd imagine that most of these people think that that's how the first movie ends, with Rocky beating Apollo Creed and winning the belt. Spoiler alert, that's not how the first movie ends. That's how the second movie ends. It's as Americans, we can't settle for a good showing from the underdog. That's somehow unsatisfying. They absolutely have to win for us to feel,
at least until the sixth installment.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that. But for us to feel at rest, like the universe is the way it's supposed to be, the underdog has to win. And I think that's why people liked that. And because they liked it, we kept seeing Rocky win in more and more and more and more Rocky films. You could make an argument that maybe the sixth one actually belongs on this list more so than two, really, Rocky comes back, spoiler alert, to restart his career. But in Rocky II, he makes the comeback in the fight. The only way he could possibly win the fight after losing so many rounds is to knock Apollo Creed out. And the only way Apollo Creed can lose the fight is to stand there and let Rocky punch him in the face. Both of those things happen.
The sixth one would have been a good one in more ways than one, because it brought Rocky back. And Stallone's career picked back up again after that, because he was kind of dormant for a while. That and Rambo in back-to-back years kind of made him somewhat relevant again. But that's where you go first off the bat, is with sports movies. And I had a couple that it made in my ideas of also-rans, but I stuck with Mr. 3000 as my only sports one. But yeah, it just sets an easy place to go, because there is a good story to tell.
The good story is in the first one. That's where the good story is, but it's not satisfying. It just doesn't have the payoff. So we almost have to have Rocky II, because you can't just you can't walk away in second place. You know, you got to come back for one more just to win. And I think if there only would have, and I mean, I love Rocky IV. It's got Dolph Lundgren. I love that dude. There were things about, well, the first four Rockies that I really like. But if it would have just ended at two, I probably wouldn't have the bad feelings I have about the franchise, because, okay, fine. He wins. He can ride off into the sunset, and we don't ever have to see him again. But not so much.
My number four, sometimes you move on from this life, and not a lot you can do with it. But sometimes after you move on, evil clones of you try to take your place. So you have to do everything you can to come back. And that's exactly what our stars did in 1991's Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. They get killed, and they have to deal with death, but they can't just let these
evil literally.
Clones. Yeah, they have to play games with death. They can't just let these evil clones take over their lives and mess with the princesses. So they do what it takes to come back. And they come back with a flair. They come back in style. I could not put this movie on. I know I've put this movie on other lists before, and I don't know what, but I try to talk about Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey pretty much any chance I can, and I absolutely love it, and I just like the idea of what better place to come back from than death.
I don't know. I mean,
other than Miami.
I guess that's true. My number three, not really coming back from death per se, but from a career death. I mean, I think that's kind of one of the logical places that you can go with this list, is a career comeback. And we kind of mentioned it for Stallone, and there's a number of actors or actresses that could fall in here, and I kind of have two. This is my first one, and it's 2008's Iron Man, directed by Jon Favreau, starring Robert Downey Jr., he of the career comeback, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Jeff Bridges. You can make the argument when Robert Downey Jr.'s comeback really started. And depending on how much of a film nerd you want to be, you can probably get several answers as to when it actually started. Where I don't think you can argue is that after 2008, he was back. 2008, you had your Iron Man and you had your Tropic Thunder. Between those two movies, it was obvious that Robert Downey Jr. was a bankable movie star and would be going forward. It was shortly after that he got the Sherlock Holmes franchise. He was making comedies with Zach Galifianakis. He was literally ubiquitous for a couple years. Now we mostly see him in the Marvel stuff, and I got to believe that roller coaster is closer to its end than it is its beginning. But if you look back at Chaplin, that dude in that movie was phenomenal. And the fact that he lost the Oscar to a yelling and screaming Al Pacino at the time probably wasn't that hard to stomach, because you figure it would only be a matter of time before a dude that was this talented gets nominated again and eventually wins. Then he kind of became a punchline for drugs and for alcohol, which is why I think you couldn't have found a better actor to play Tony Stark. Not only does he have that charm, but he's got kind of the same demons that the character dealt with. And you don't really ever see that to this point in any of the Marvel movies per se. But as much as Robert Downey Jr. was able to transform into Charlie Chaplin to play that, I don't know that he had to transform that much to play Tony Stark. And I'm really, really happy that he did, because, you know, we've gotten to see him back on the big screen, and the dude's a bona fide movie star.
And he always has been, except for that string of 10, 15 years where, I mean, even stuff like The Pickup Artist and before Chaplin, like, the guy was great in everything. He was so charismatic. He was a movie star. And then he let it get to him, and he ruined it. There were a lot of celebrity of career comeback that I kicked around. I didn't put any of them on the list, but there's a handful that come to mind right off the top of my head. His is my favorite because he sustained it. You know, like Stallone, we just mentioned Stallone with like Rocky and Rambo in back-to-back years. Like, yeah, he's had the Expendables, but outside of that, like
bullet to the head.
And Schwarzenegger's doing the same thing, trying to come back. They're not really that relevant. They're releasing movies in the mainstream, but they're not really picking up. Where Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man, Avengers, even the non-stuff, like Chef was a big critical darling this year. The Sherlock Holmes made a lot of money. Even something like the Jamie Foxx one, The Soloist or whatever, mm-hmm. Due Date. Like, he's making good movies that are bankable, that are making money, and he's really good in them. And I don't think he's going anywhere for a while. If he goes away this time, it's
because he wants to.
Because he wants to. And, like, he's done with Tony Stark after two more Avengers movies. So I don't know where we'll see his career go after that. But I'm excited to see it. And he's come back, blasted into relevance, and then stayed there. Because if you remember, when he was cast as Iron Man, it was kind of nuts. It was pretty crazy because
it was a gamble.
Yeah, he wasn't relevant, you know. And this was – Tom Cruise had been talked about as Tony Stark for so long – Tom Cruise has always been a big-time bankable movie star. Marvel took a risk, and it paid off 100%. My number three, it's pretty obvious if you've talked to me. I love this movie. It's about going home, maybe not under the best circumstances, but more importantly, it's about going back somewhere that you've ran away from. That's 2004's Garden State. You have Zach Braff leaves Jersey, tries to get as far away from Jersey as he can in California. Not really having much luck with anything, has to go back due to his mother's death, and just kind of gets sucked in and has a very Jersey week or weekend or whatever he was there for, and kind of realizes that as much as he can run away from, like, there's still plenty there for him. I love this movie. Like, this is one of those movies that when people tell me they hate Garden State, like, I can't take them seriously, because I think this is the kind of movie you can only hate if you're going out of your way to hate something. Natalie Portman's so damn charming in it. Peter Sarsgaard's awesome. Zach Braff is more than competent as the lead. It's funny. It's charming. It's likable. Method Man kills it in his brief appearance. It's just such a good movie. It's so simplistic, and it's so heart-driven that I absolutely love it. As far as movies of coming back home, this is one that's always going to pop out to me because I did leave my hometown. I know what it's like to leave and not want to go back. So I really like Garden State, and it was my number three.
My number two, I feel like I'm kind of going back to my roots on this one. It is old-ass movie from 1950. I talked about Robert Downey Jr.'s career comeback, and there were several that I think we could have put on there. Mickey Rourke was one. I very nearly had Pulp Fiction for the comeback of Travolta, which for a time was a super big deal. He headlined a lot of movies after that. But this one is a bit less obvious, but I think it's kind of a meta example. It is Billy Wilder's Sunset Boulevard, starring William Holden, Eric von Stroheim, and Gloria Swanson, who, as much as Iron Man kind of relaunched the career of Robert Downey Jr., that's kind of the plot you have of Sunset Boulevard. You have this silent film actress, Norma Desmond, washed up and kind of hell-bent on a comeback. And that's exactly the life of Gloria Swanson. She was a silent film actress, and she was in 65 movies, I counted, between 1914 and 1934. From 1934 to 1950, she worked in exactly one movie. That's a hell of a switch from 65 in 20 years. After that, she went on to a pretty successful TV career for a number of years after that, sort of life imitating art, I guess, in the movie Sunset Boulevard. It is centered around the delusions of this Norma Desmond and the idea that she's going to come back, that Hollywood is waiting for her to come back. And clearly, the longer you go through the movie, you see William Holden's character kind of feeling bad for her, and he sort of realizes that she's completely living in her own world and kind of needs a little bit of grounding, but more than that, maybe just somebody to believe her. And there's really a good bond that develops between the two of them. It doesn't end particularly well, although you see that right at the beginning of the movie. I really liked this movie, and I just thought it was an interesting way to kind of bridge between, like, Iron Man, where, you know, you see it outside of the movie, and then Sunset Boulevard, where you see it inside the movie and outside, for the actress that played a washed-up silent film actress.
My number two, it's a movie I've talked about a lot, and I generally try to leave movies that I've talked about a lot off of other lists, but the parallels with why we're doing this episode. Sometimes you do something when you're younger, and you try. You have this thing you really want to accomplish, and you try it when you're younger, and you fail. You can either go on living the rest of your life and never trying again, or you can spend 4 years in Miami and come back and try to win that championship for your hometown, or you can spend 20 years and come back and try to finish that epic pub crawl you never finished when you were younger. So my number two is 2013's The World's End. I really like this movie a lot, and I've talked about that a lot, but why I like it here is because you kind of have Simon Pegg's character who never really left. He left that area, but he was the same kid he was 20 years ago, and it's just him getting the team back together, essentially trying to get all these guys that are in completely different spots in their life to come back. And yeah, it sounds stupid, but I could relate to that. Something you really want to do when you're younger and you take one crack at it and you fail. And to sit on that for 20 years, I liked how it was done because I liked that you saw the Nick Frost character, Martin Freeman. Like, I liked where all these characters were and what it took him to get them back, because as stupid as it sounds, I understand that. Like, to have that something you want to do when you failed, who doesn't want another chance at that? Who cares when it comes? So I just really like that. And it was a homecoming in a number of ways. Like, yeah, they're going back to their hometown to see people that they didn't know. And there was a lot of that. Like, oh, hey, that's that guy from this bar. And a lot of memories from 20 years ago. I really like this movie. And I like the way that was addressed about the friendship and everything. And not just going back for yourselves, but dragging other people along who really don't have any desire to go back. So I think if you're looking at it from like a homecoming movie and a going back to finish your goals kind of movie, ignoring the sci-fi stuff, like, I like it from
which that. Hasn't come up at all.
Yeah, because it's not relevant to the point I'm making about right. The movie now. I love this movie as a movie about friendship and as a movie about an unfinished dream and going back to Cleveland to win a championship that you failed to do the first time around. So my number two is The World's End.
I'm not surprised that that was on your list as soon as you kind of started talking about it. There were two movies that came to mind. One was obviously the one you chose, and the other one I thought, okay, this could be sneaky because I know Dave likes these guys. It's not my number one. I guess it's just going to be an also-ran that I just put in here because it kind of is a little bit what you're talking about, is the dodecapentathlon. You love you some Duplass Brothers.
I do.
A lot of the things you said about World's End applies to Dodeca. Not so much the sci-fi parts, but I guess, you know, if you want maybe a more straight up version of that, trying to
without the robots that bleed blue.
Without the robots, maybe that, you know, Arrested Development trying to do something that as an adult is kind of stupid and pointless, but because, you know, there is that 18-year-old within every man, no matter how old you get. I mean, I like Dodeca better. I'm on record not love The World's End, but I am not surprised that you put it on there, and even as high as you did. My number one, I don't think is going to be a giant surprise. I mean, this list has its genesis in a Cleveland-related comeback story, so why not finish off my list with the greatest comeback of any Cleveland sports team on the history of the big screen? That's the 1989 Cleveland Indians in David S. Ward's Major League, starring Charlie Sheen, Tom Berenger, Corbin Bernstein, among others. I hate baseball, but I love this movie. The fact that I can tell you more starters from the Major League Indians team than I can tell you about the current crop of Indians should really kind of illustrate the point there. And as much as I do actually like the radio guy there's two, but one of them sucks, that the Indians have. Nobody can touch Bob Uecker's Harry Doyle. That is one of my favorite movie characters of all time. Every time I come across baseball, whether it's on TV, in person, on the radio, I can't help but think about so many great Harry Doyle lines from that movie. And that's really the only way I'm able to watch or be in baseball's presence, is if I have the uke rattling around in my brain. David Ward, though, kind of an interesting character. He went on to direct some great comedies like King Ralph and Major League 2, Down Periscope. He also wrote and directed The Program, which is a hell of a departure from those other movies, but really good. He did write all of the Major League movies, which, okay, maybe you had a grand slam with one and you struck out looking.
And you went back to the minors with the third one.
Yeah. but this guy won an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay with The Sting, which is a movie that I absolutely love. Had no clue it was written by the guy that wrote Major League. It was also nominated again in 1994 for Sleepless in Seattle. This is the guy that gave us the line, "I love this British shit. I love this movie." And David Ward, really weird career. I mean, he's the guy that Lifetime maybe hits 220, but you only think of the home run he hit in the World Series. When he does it right, when he does something well, it's awesome. And there are other times, not so much.
My number one, it's a movie I talked about a couple weeks ago on our halftime show. It is a 2014 movie. Sometimes people come into your life and then they go away for a while and you miss them and you start to miss them. And you just think, like, you know, a long time ago we used to be friends. And then they come back. And that's exactly what Kristen Bell and Rob Thomas and crew did in Veronica Mars this year. This one I absolutely love because the movie is a comeback where she needed to get out of Neptune because of the way things ended in season.
She
in
a
the,
space
in
explorer?
The final season. She had to get out of Neptune, and she went on and built this great life. But then she gets sucked back in. You know, Logan gets himself in some trouble right around the 10-year reunion.
Oh, that Logan.
Logan, military you thought would have shaped him up, but you never know. But so right around 10-year reunion, and 10-year reunions are easy to make comeback plays in. So, you know, she comes back to Neptune, and she comes back into our hearts. The show had been off for 7 years, say 6 or 7 years, so rabid fan base. So it was a nice little movie to where she came back to Neptune in the movie, and then Veronica Mars came back into our hearts in real life. And fantastic movie. I absolutely loved it. It was perfect for... It was a great comeback because it was nods to, you know, there were little Easter eggs back there, but it wasn't, you know, I'm torn on fan service. I hate fan service.
Unless it's something you like.
Unless it's subtle. All the fan service in the Veronica Mars movie I thought was very, very subtle, and it made a little marshmallow like me all happy inside.
All gooey on the inside?
All gooey on the inside. But, yeah, so Veronica Mars is my favorite comeback movie. For more than one reason, like the comeback in the movie and the comeback of the movie, I absolutely loved. And I hope it comes back for another movie in case he ever leaves and comes back again.
I feel like...
Or for when Larry Hughes comes back to Cleveland.
Let's not hold our breath on that one. Did Serenity just absolutely not qualify?
It never even hit my radar. I didn't really think about it as a comeback movie.
Plot-wise... Maybe not, but when you talk about like a movie from a canceled TV show and how much you love that movie.
And I do, and it didn't, I mean, that's a valid point. It just never hit my radar, I think, because...
And this must be the first time you've ever done a list and Serenity has and not hit your radar.
So you know what? I couldn't make Gremlins in there. I tried to get Gremlins
2 in there.
I
was waiting for the new batch.
But, I mean, all of mine have a comeback in the movie of some sort. And I guess I just went with a theme, whereas Serenity didn't really... It wasn't a getting the team back together kind of movie. Like, if it would have picked up later, it just, it's a valid question, but it just didn't hit my radar. Some of my also-rans, though, Dark Knight Rises came to mind because there's two comebacks in that movie. He comes back once, and then we have to watch him get beaten and then wait for him to come back again. I didn't want to load it down with sports movies. I took Mr. 3000, even though Kingpin and Stick It were on my also-rans because I so badly wanted to put Stick It, but Bernie Mac beats out Missy Peregrine. And Gravity, just her journey to come back home I really like that. Those are pretty much my only also-rans. I know we missed some, though. Did you have any also-rans?
Yeah, I mean, I think the sports movies, it's almost any sports movie involves some kind of a comeback, whether it's, you know, just an in-game setting or, I mean, Major League, they came back from a tremendous deficit to make the playoffs only to lose. I tried to just kind of limit myself. I mean, I had two sports movies. If you count, I guess Rocky's a sports movie. Boxing's a sport, technically. But, I mean, that's another one. Like, most boxing movies have an element of a comeback in them somewhere. And a lot of the ones that I had kind of kicked around for also-rans would have been, you know, The Wrestler, if I wanted to do, like, the Rourke comeback.
The Wrestler, Pulp Fiction came to mind,
yeah.
Iron Man. Those are your big time, even like Jackie Brown for Robert Forster, even though he didn't maintain it as much as everybody else. Back to sports ones, though, like Great White Hype, the Damon Wayans, Peter Berg movie. I admittedly love that movie with Peter Berg as this washed, he hasn't boxed in forever, trying to come back. I think that was really good. And then the Adam Sandler, The Longest Yard. I like, because there is a comeback in that movie, but more importantly, Burt Reynolds coming in and coming back to that kind of role, I thought was kind of a cool way. Like, if you're going to remake a sports movie, I thought they kind of did that one kind of well, because, again, not really fan service. It's just, as a fan of the original, throwing Burt Reynolds in there, it was kind of cool. There's just so many ways you can go with this. Like, we can list a million movies, and chances are, if you're listening, you've come up with a couple that we didn't even get to, because it's a comeback movie. Like,
and there's
anything you want it to be.
I'm kind of surprised that neither of us really had a movie that, well, I guess you did, Bill and Ted, where your characters came back from the dead. I mean, there's a lot of movies that you could pick where characters came back for good or for ill. That for whatever reason, I kind of stayed away from. But yeah, it's when we have these lists that are so broad, of course we're going to miss something that occurs to you. And those are the times we'd like to hear about it. Because, I mean, I did not do a lot of research for this. There were movies that popped into my head, and I said, damn it, yes, that's a great example of career comeback. Damn it, yes, that one is literally called The Return of the King, so let's be lazy. So yeah, when we leave yours out, we'd love to hear about it. moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet them at us, @moviesonup on the Twitter, or leave them on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup.
Next week, we're coming back with, I think, his favorite Scarlett Johansson movies.
We make our return.
Which will be fun. So I'm excited for that one.
But until then,
go Cavs.